Welcome to the Mother Days podcast. I am your host, Sarah Wright Olson.
And I'm Teresa Palma.
Welcome, daisies. We're so excited. Today we have an amazing mama on with us, Tori Praver. And hi, Tori, guys. Do you go by Tori Praver? Is it Birnbaum? Is that how you say your last name? Help me.
So I'm Birnbaum now. Marriage okay. number two. So I actually changed my name this time. Yeah. Hopefully it's the last.
Got it. Okay.
But I'm just Tori. We can just
okay,
go Tori.
Just Tori. Yeah. All right, Tori. Well, I'm so excited to have you on, Tori, because I actually just recently, it was last year, went to this event with the Business of Being Born, and Tori and I were both there. And I remember Ricky was there, Ricky Lake, and she was like, Tori, you should share your stories, you know? And I was like sitting there going like, yeah, you should, because I have followed you for years. I knew that you had home births and you had three kids. And actually, I'm sorry, I'm not a stalker, but
I am.
Your first two kids are the same, were born the same years that my first two kids were born.
Okay.
So, and I was always a huge fan of your swim line. And
oh, I love you.
Bought one of your suits like really early on. And then you did a collaboration with Target and I like bought everything. And I was like,
yeah,
super
wow,
fan.
You really don't, you know your stuff. Wow.
I do.
Ages and ages ago.
Do you know how much cashback you're leaving on the table settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cashback on your groceries for the next 30 years. Think of all that cashback on those overpriced kombuchas. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today that future you will thank you for. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? Splurge on some fancy champagne with the gals, or order fine dining to the house and watch a good true crime doco? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But anyway, Tori has done Sports Illustrated. You were like a guest model at the age of 17. You modeled for Billabong, and also you grew up in Hawaii. So yeah. You've had wow. like an unbelievable experience. I think very unique and really cool. But one of the things I think that I geek out over is the fact that you chose to have home births. What led you to that place? Like, how did you get to the place where you wanted to do a home birth?
Especially with your first. I feel like some people get there, but not often with their first.
Well, no, my first actually was born in the hospital, not by my choice, but her dad at the time. So like you said, I grew up in Hawaii. I'm going to back it up.
Back it up, girl.
Like a tantra.
So I grew up on Maui. And in Hawaii, it's a lot more normal to have home births. It's sort of like, I mean, most of my friends did. I felt like it was sort of like what you did. Like, you got pregnant, you had a baby, and you just birthed at home. It seemed kind of normal to me, which I realize now is not the case, and really kind of awesome that I had that kind of thought and introduction to birth and felt good and confident about it. And then when I got pregnant with my first, I really like wasn't sure what I was going to do. That's kind of how I met Ricky Lake, and that how it led me to kind of her and her documentaries and The Business of Being Born. I started watching her films, which you know, I think most people when they watch those, they kind of become obsessed mm-hmm. with this
yes.
idea. And you're like, wow, holy shit. I'm like, am I allowed to curse?
Yes, you are. Yes, you can. Anything you want.
But yeah, it was like, wow, this is epic. Like, I want that. This mm-hmm. is an experience that I want. And I kind of just dove in, and I was living in LA at the time. My husband was not entirely on board. He had a friend who kind of had just recently had a scary experience with a home birth.
Mm.
So I kind of had to convince him that that's what I wanted to do. And it just didn't feel right. Like, I wanted him to feel comfortable and confident. So I yeah. found a midwife who had birthing rights at Cedar Sinai.
Mm.
She's actually sadly no longer alive, but it was amazing. It was kind of like I got the best of both worlds. I got to have the hospital, so my husband was, you know, comfortable, and I got to have this experience with the midwife. I got to birth in the position I wanted to. I got to, you know, take my time. I got to kind of just create my own environment. And sadly, at the very end, it was like 30 hours of labor. Long story short, I ended up getting an epidural. She offered me one, and I was like, just going like, through transition.
Don't dangle the carrot.
And I was like, I can't. I'm like, just fucking give it to me. I can't do it anymore. She was like, you know, it could be 20 more minutes. It could be 2 hours. And I was just so dead, so tired. And to be honest, it kind of saved my birth, because I think I would have just been totally out of energy. So whatever,
yes.
you know, it is what it is. But that was, it was beautiful. I had her naturally. And then round two, I was like, I'm having this fucking baby at home. I don't care what you said. If I wasn't, I kind of resented the hospital experience yeah. a little, just because I feel like it kind of took that will from me. Whereas if I would have been mm-hmm. at home, by the way, I was so comfy and cozy at home, getting in the car, driving, the white lights,
yes.
the smell, the whole drive. Thing.
Yeah.
It just totally messed me up. I was 8 centimeters when I got there.
Oh my God.
Labor all night.
Oh.
Yeah. It took me all night to get to 9. And then I was like, you know, whatever. It just messed up my flow.
Yeah.
Anyways, I knew I wanted to have my next baby at home, and I did. I found an amazing team. I think she was actually at that event, Sarah, that we were at.
Oh, really?
Alexandra Evangelini.
Yes.
And I didn't have a doula. I sort of was my own doula. And that's where Ricky comes in. So
okay.
So I had always wanted to do a doula training forever, ever since I saw her documentary. So all my friends were going to Coachella, and I was like 8 months pregnant and bored, and it was hot. And I was like, what am I going to do? So I just Googled doula training near me. And I know, so random. It was at Beanie Birth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anna Paula. Yes.
Anna Paula Markell.
I took that course too.
You did?
Yes.
It was amazing, right?
It was amazing.
So I walk in, I'm 8 months pregnant. I'm the only pregnant girl there. And I sit down. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. It was like, I don't know, 2 or 3 days. I don't
yeah.
remember.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about an hour into it, and all of a sudden someone's late. And who is it? No, none other than Ricky Lake.
Oh,
she walks in.
Wow.
I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. I'm like,
this universe
is a sign from God.
It
like,
is.
This is it. She's
yes.
here. I'm here. Like, this is wild. She had never had her doula training. That was just the random, you know, session that she picked. I happened to be there. We were partners.
Oh my God.
For like the whole 2 days. It was so fun. She was like, I don't know. It was just the best. It was the best experience. She was like, do you want me to be at your birth? Do you want me to, I don't know what happened. She ended up not being in town or something. And it was fine. I had my mom, I had my team, and it was all good. So I had my second baby at home.
Oh, how
I guess
beautiful.
It was my own doula. Yeah. I was living in Malibu at the time, and it was perfect. It was like the best experience.
I bet that, yeah. that
oh my gosh.
It really changes. I mean, I've actually only had one home birth. I've had sort of birth center births with the two middle ones, and then the first one was a hospital birth. But for me, the biggest difference was just that the post birth
is like, yeah. Of course I felt so great being in the home environment, but then just being able to just stay and just sleep and just nurse and you're just there yeah. and I have my kids around and I didn't have to go yeah. anywhere.
Be in your own bed.
Yeah. It was so, that's so magical.
It really is. It's a whole new and different experience.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. So as your kids get older, some things about parenting gets easier, right? So we're not up in the middle of the night a million times potentially, and they can start cleaning up after themselves. They can do some vacuuming and they can help out around the house. Okay, so then other things don't, like having conversations about money. Well, the fact is kids won't really know how to manage their money until they're actually in charge of it. And that is where Greenlight can help.
With the Greenlight app, kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun, accessible way. The Greenlight app also includes a chores feature where you can set up one-time or recurring chores customized to your family's needs, and then you reward kids with an allowance for a job well done. I was thinking about this and I was like, oh, I remember being a child and my chore was I had to unload the dishwasher every day. Did I get pocket money, Sarah? No, I did not. Things are different these days. And millions of people and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It is the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together.
I feel like that knowledge is so empowering and being able to give them this access is just going to make them feel so good when they go to purchase something or donate to a charity or whatever it is. So sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/motherdays. That's greenlight.com/motherdays to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/motherdays.
Do you know how much cashback you're leaving on the table settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cashback on your groceries for the next 30 years. Think of all that cashback on those overpriced kombuchas. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today that future you will thank you for. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? Splurge on some fancy champagne with the gals or order fine dining to the house and watch a good true crime doco? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
How long after your second birth did you have your third baby? And were you also dead set on, right, this is the way, I'm having another home birth?
So my second and my third are 6 years apart.
Uh-huh.
I got a divorce. I got remarried. And then my new husband didn't have any kids. So I kind of knew that was, you know, that was happening. I was excited, happy to have a third. But, you know, it was a long time. Mm-hmm. It's been 6 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a part of me that was like, okay, I'm just going to go to the hospital and get an epidural and it'll be great. It'll be perfect. And then I was like, who am I kidding? Like, that's just not going to happen. I'm not doing it and forget it. I'm back on board. Here we are with the third baby. I'm having a home birth. And again, I had to get my now husband on board with this idea, which he's from New York. He's a nurse too. He was like, you are insane. Like, we're not having a baby at home. Like, who's a baby at home?
You're like me.
His mother thought I was wacky.
Oh,
like,
no.
She couldn't even like digest the thought. And I was like, it's going to be okay, guys. I promise. Like, I had to really like hold their hand through the process.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, halfway through, honestly, like he had a couple of meetings with the midwife and I think that she answered all of his questions. She was actually a paramedic before. So I think he felt like a little bit more comfort in knowing that, God forbid, there was some sort of emergency mm-hmm. or whatever things he was concerned about. It made him feel at ease. But He was excited, and it was so epic, you guys. My both my kids were there in the tub.
I want you to walk us through the whole thing, because that I want to hear about this, because I actually saw pictures from this birth on your Instagram I think at some point, and I was just like, I need to know this story, because you like wrote some stuff out too, which was so cool. Was it the same midwife that you had had?
No.
Who is this midwife?
So I think it was during COVID or something. I probably was spending way too much time on my phone, but I kind of fell in love. I fell in love with this midwife from Orange County, Lindsay Milas.
We love her.
She needs to come on the pod.
To interview her.
She's amazing, and you should interview her. She's incredible. But we sort of just had this like little like Instagram romance, and I would tease like, if I ever have another baby, I want you to be my midwife. And it was sort of like a joke, but it ended up happening. I got pregnant. I immediately called her. I was like, you have to come see me. I'm pregnant, having this baby at home, and you're going to deliver it for me.
So
that's what happened.
Oh my God. She's a dream.
And she would drive up from Irvine to see me. I felt so bad. I was like, you really, like at the end, I was like, don't even come. Like, it's my third baby. What are you going to do? Like, there's nothing to talk about. There's nothing to see. I'm fine. But no, she was incredible. But so back to the kids you wanted to know about.
Yes.
So Ryan, my daughter was at the birth for my son, Phoenix, my second. She was there the whole time, and she got a little nervous, I think, towards the end with like the pushing and she wasn't in the room. I don't even think I was so loud. I think she just was like three and like, what the hell's happening? Whatever. She didn't feel comfy, and she went to my neighbor's house and came back, and he was there in our bed, and it was beautiful. But this time I really like included them in all of the appointments. They were there like using the Doppler. They would be there for whatever it was. Like, they were really a part of the journey of my pregnancy. And from like the first month, they were like, we want to be there. We want to see, we want to like, we want to help. We want to, I don't know. They were just super into it. And I would show them births of like, you know, babies and puppies and every kind of birth I could possibly show them, just to kind of like prepare them. I think, I'm trying to think, it was like, what time? My birth went so quick with a third. I want to say it was like 1 a.m. right before I was about to push. My mom went and got them from bed, and they came in their pajamas, got in that tub. And my daughter was the first one to hold the baby. It was like the most beautiful thing. Still connected. Umbilical cord and all. She just like hands waiting for him, took him, held him. And we were like, I guess it's her baby.
Oh my God.
And it still is, by the way. It's the cutest thing. They have like the sweetest, sweetest connection. It's really beautiful.
Oh my God. What's their age difference?
So Ryan's 10. She was 9 when the baby was born, and Phoenix was 6.
I'd done the math in my head. I was like, wait, she was not.
You know what? Like afterwards, I asked them, I said, were you guys scared? Were you nervous? Like, what did you think? Like, tell me. And they were like, no, we weren't scared. Aww. I was like, was mommy making weird sounds? Like, did it make you feel uncomfortable? They were like, no, we were just excited. Like, they were just happy to like, I don't know. It was like people, when I tell them that, they were like, they watched, like they couldn't believe it, but it just felt so right. And like,
I just feel like you're setting them up for success in the future, like seeing like what a woman's body can do and what birth can look like, because there's so much fear mongering with birth, and to actually these kids have seen it. They've seen their mom go through it, and I hear so many stories. I think we were talking to Rumor Willis about this, and it's like when you're at the birth of your siblings and you see your parents do it, like inevitably, like you end up wanting to choose sort of a similar path, which we keep hearing that story over and over. And and I love it. Like, my kids also just think that, birth is like you get in the water and you know, make some noises and the baby comes out and it's peaceful and beautiful. And there are lots of people around. Yes.
That is birth. That is. That's what we are meant to do. It's become this thing that we now, it's now a medical intervention. We have to go to the hospital. We have to be hooked up and plugged in and poked. And it's just sad that, you know, it has to be that way. But, you know, it's kind of like the argument that I feel like I have with everyone who's really not, I don't want to say on our side, it's not a side, but that they can't really resonate with why we're happy to have a baby at home versus going to a hospital. A lot of people's argument is, why not? Why would you take the risk? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you, you know, just be somewhere where you knew it were the safest place? And, you know, statistically, that's really not the case. It's not necessarily the safest place. And it's rare. Obviously it happens. Thank God we have these options, but it's rare that there needs to be an intervention and that somebody needs to be taken or transferred or, you know, if you are a healthy mom, especially if you've had more than one kid, like, and it feels good, you should do it. Like I have people ask me all the time, like, I really want to try that. What do you think? I'm like, what does your heart say? Like, if you feel good, then that's the path that you should take. I really believe it.
I agree with you. And I also feel like I had a home birth transfer with my first child. And everyone was like, oh my gosh, like that's so scary. And I was like, but it actually wasn't. It was really calm. And I chose a midwife who was really conservative in terms of when she would make the call. And Sarah was at that birth and the decision was made and we just sort of like packed up the car and we went to have the transfer. And it never got to a point where the decision was made and it was suddenly this crazy emergency. It was like,
stressful.
We're going to make the call earlier than later. And it was the right call in that case. And I ended up having a really like beautiful, natural hospital birth that has been a positive story for me. And so I always like put my hand up and like, I am the person that had the transfer from the home birth. And I had a really beautiful outcome, but also I was incredibly mindful when I was interviewing midwives because I wanted to ask those questions. At what point do you make that call to do a transfer?
Right.
And I knew her steps and I was like, okay, that protocol like feels good to me and that checks out.
Yeah. And you trusted her to obviously, she said it's time and you said, okay.
Exactly.
It wasn't that you were fighting and wanted to, you know, I think it, yeah. You just have to kind of give in and trust whoever that person is that you pick. And she was your leader.
How was your partner then, you know, during the process? Did you find he was more reserved? Was he like in it with you? Like how was he through the whole
really
thing?
It's really funny. It's a funny story. So he, there was, I don't even know what word to use. There was certain things that I had to agree to in order to have this home birth.
That is amazing. Okay. Like parameters were put in place.
Yes. Well, first he was insane. He wanted like a ambulette, like a helicopter to be waiting outside. I was like, you're insane. Are you nuts? We live 20 minutes from Cedars. I'm like, we're not having an ambulance outside nor a helicopter, any of that craziness. But he wanted an OB. He wanted a real like obstetrician to be sitting on the couch. And I said, you do know that I saw Dr. Crane for years. So I said, you know, I can make that happen. It's easy. I'm sure he'll be happy to come, but you're going to pay him and he's going to sit on the couch. He's going to have some coffee, maybe a glass of wine, and he's going to go home. Like there's really nothing for him to do.
Yeah.
But if you want him, sure. Like, let's do it.
Which is more expensive, Dr. Crane or the ambulance?
Right. Exactly.
So it was I was fine with it. I was like, let's do it. So I had Dr. Crane scheduled, booked. We had a plan. Mark was going to call the midwife when I went to labor and Lindsay would call Dr. Crane. That was it. So I'm like, literally just pushed the baby out And I look up at Mark, who's, by the way, was pretty chill the whole time. Oh. I was like really impressed. He was like not stressed at all. I think he really enjoyed it. He was like laughing with the kids and like, were like playful. And I look at him and I'm like, where's Dr. Crane? Like, he's not here. He's like, I didn't call him. Like, are you so proud of me? I was like, no way. Like, and I have it on the video where I'm like, like my face is like, I'm making this like shocked face because I couldn't believe it. And then I was like, wow, that's like so, I don't even know. That's so special that he felt so comfortable that he was like, meh. I'm not even going to call him. Forget it.
Oh my gosh.
It was nice.
How
we got our money back too, which was
how
great.
Amazing. Love that.
They're like refunds. Oh my goodness.
So all of these things, I think that he needed to just feel secure along the way. He realized at the end of the day, like, you know, it's just not necessary. Like he felt safe and he knew I was safe and thank God it was quick. I think if it had been like a long labor, he would have been more nervous, but it was fast. And I was in total denial. So we didn't even get to fill up the tub. So it was
perfect. They sometimes say that third birth is the wild card. Was that sort of your experience? If you look at the three different births, was that third birth like just took you by surprise? Was it very different?
Yeah. Well, I was so, I think, set in my head that I was going to be super late with him. I don't know why. I think Phoenix was 10 days late. Okay. Mm. 10 days. I would wake up and cry. Like, in the morning, I would get up, sit there and just tears. I was so just, I don't know. I was like not in control. I was like, I don't understand this due date thing, which by the way is a whole nother topic. Due date. It's like there shouldn't be due dates. There should be like a guess week. So, you know, my due date came and went and I was like so depressed. And I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna have to wait weeks again, like the last time. And I went for a walk and I was like having like cramps or whatever, not even, they probably were contractions, but by your third baby, it's really like hard to tell in the early stages if you're in labor. I don't know, for me at least. And I went home and we had dinner and I was having like full contractions, but I was in such denial, like in total denial. I don't know why I did not give in to this, like the fact that I was having a baby that night. But I took a shower. I braided my hair because I kept thinking,
no, you did not.
If I go into labor, I'm prepared. I'm going to like get my warrior braids going. And I thought I was going to go to sleep. I swear to God, it was 10 o'clock at night. Mark finally is like, I'm calling Lindsay. She lives an hour and a half. Like, are you nuts? I don't care if she sleeps in downstairs on the couch. Like, let's just have her.
Yeah.
He calls her. She walks in the door at 11 and it was over. Like, here comes the baby. She checked me. I was like 6 centimeters. I went to the bathroom. I had him. I think it was like 1 a.m. I had him.
Wow.
What? So I was like, really, like, I know, having like a full mental argument with myself.
So then, okay, here's my question about that. Cause we hear about those short labors and everyone's like, that's a dream. Oh my gosh, I want to have a 3-hour labor.
Yeah.
But
it was so intense.
Was it? Yeah. That's what I wanted to ask. Was it like rolling contractions? Were you unable? Was it so powerful that you're like, I need this to slow down?
No, because I knew what the finish line looked like for me. And I knew they were happening so strong and fast. And I would just like, every time I had one, I knew what to do. Like I was like in a zone.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, maybe if had it been that way the first or second time, I would have been like, holy shit, this is a lot. But I was like, let's go every time. Like I just, there was no words spoken in between contractions. I just went in. I was like, this baby is coming out. And it was quick. But to be honest, I think it was a long day of labor that I was just totally unaware of. I didn't even know. So it's probably like,
wow, what a dream.
I don't even know how many hours, but
That's amazing. For my last two kids that I had, well, maybe all three of them actually, I definitely had 2 weeks where I was like, oh, I'm in labor. This is contractions. I'm going to go to bed tonight. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be able to have a baby. It happened for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So definitely by my third one, I kept being like, I don't know, might be tonight. And then I was 11 days past my due date with my last baby. So I totally feel you. Yeah. Because the 10 day, it was forever.
And how fast was your third baby?
My third was just really funny because I think I had been sort of having light labor all through the night and in and out of sleep. So it was like the next morning I was like, oh, this is labor. So that was like, you know, 6 a.m. or something. And I ended up I had to go to the hospital and I had her by like noon. So it was like pretty quick. Especially once I got there, it was just like the job was being done, you know, like everything. Yeah. There was like a new like level to everything. And I was going to say to you, because for me, I had a home birth first and then 2 hospital births.
Okay.
And I loved my home birth, but I had a really big baby and the baby got stuck at home. And we were able to like get the baby out. But you know, my next two, I was like, my husband and I were all like, maybe we'll do it at the hospital because the baby was just so big. But
it
I
made
would
you
say
feel at peace.
At peace. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I had another, would I want to do it at home? Maybe. But, you know, I do think that the hospital can be really beautiful. It can be, you know, exactly what you said. Like, but then you also, I think going into a hospital birth, it's just good to remember to really know what you want and for your team to know and for your partner to know, because you kind of have to be armed with that. Because that moment when the midwife like asks you about, you know, an epidural and you were like, I kind of feel like something was taken away from me there. Like it's really hard. Because in the transition part, like if somebody at home that with my first baby had dangled that carrot in front of me, like I was going on the same amount of hours that you're talking about. And I was so done for so many hours, you know?
You were like, can I just have 20 minutes, please?
Yes. <That's> exactly.
I know. There should be like a pause. That's really all you need when it's a long time. Let me tell you, the epidural that I got the first time.
Yeah.
I took a nap, like deep sleep, but that hour, whatever I got, saved me. And I had energy. I regained energy to push her out. I honestly probably would have had a C-section otherwise. So like, listen, I think
that's amazing,
everything happens
then.
For a reason.
Yeah.
You know, I really like, I'm not like, I don't think about that birth and think something was stolen from me or taken from me. It's just, it was the way that it went and it was in perfect timing. But I do think that when you're in that hospital environment and you're on the fence, like, am I going to try? Am I not going to try and go in?
Yes.
You know, it's hard. It's hard to not take it when it's like literally like, you want this?
And
come get it.
You can actually say on your birth plan, I mean, hopefully people adhere to it, but
don't
Sarah and
me.
I talk about this all the time. Like, please do not ask me. Only never offer me the opportunity. Yeah, you can write it on your birth.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So you can write it specifically like no mention of epidural, no mention of, you know, pain relief. Right. And then there's like, you can say a code word or you say to your partner it like 3 times.
Oh, yes.
And then your partner is the one that goes and requests it as opposed to it being offered to you.
We had that.
Yeah.
We had a code word. I remember.
Yeah. So.
But I didn't say it. I did not ask for the code word.
Yeah, well, it's crazy. That I think there's like definitely more of a focus on looking at people's birth plans. And by the way, if there's a care provider that like sort of scoffs when you're like, here's my birth plan, not really the right birth provider.
Totally.
Because that's just not, you need someone to be like, oh, I respect this. You want to go for a natural birth? Fantastic. Like you should feel empowered to do that. So
right.
You want the lights dim, you want the music on, you want, okay, fantastic. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, with Ryan, when I had her in the hospital, I loved my doctor. I loved my OB at the time. And I was like, it's perfect. I'm going to have a baby in the hospital. She'll deliver. And I started telling her what I wanted, that, you know, I wanted to be able to kind of change positions or, you know, be on my hands and knees or whatever it was. She was like, no, no. She's like, I only deliver babies when the mother's on their back. She's like,
see ya.
And I was like, but she was like dead serious. She's like, I've seen too many things go wrong, whatever her reasons were. And she was like, that's it. Sorry. Like, and I was like, that's not going to work for me. Like that alone, that thought of having like to fit in a box of in some way really like stressed me out. And I was like, well, what am I going to do? Like, this isn't going to work. And that's when she referred me to the midwife that was at that practice at the time. And I was like, oh, wow. Perfect. Like, there's so many things you don't know that are available.
Yeah.
And now, you know, at UCLA, there's a whole team of midwives that you can have. And it's so amazing. Like, that wasn't the case 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I had like the only midwife who had rights at Cedars.
Wow.
Like, yeah. That's it.
Wow.
I mean, that's a good thing for any listener out there who's like, you know, pregnant or thinking about having a baby and is, you know, maybe hasn't brought that topic up with their OB. If you're with an OB and you're like, that's such a good question, you know, just to talk a little bit about how you want to birth. And then if they have any sort of reaction to that, you know, I would say a reaction that's like, okay, a lot of women say that, but you could try that. Or if it's like, well, I only deliver people on their back. Like I had to give birth on my back one time. The baby was 11 pounds. The reason I had to give birth
11
to her.
Pounds?
Yeah, the reason I had to give birth to her on my back is because they were worried about a sticky shoulder again. So I was on hands and knees, and then they flipped me over just to help guide that out. I have to say, it was so much more intense trying to birth that baby on my back, and so much harder. And like knowing now after three births that my favorite position is this like super split leg squat situation. That positioning is so much easier for me. And so having a doctor or a midwife who's like, you want to birth
gravity.
Your baby like that? That's, I'll get under there and catch it, you know? It's so great.
I'm like, I just don't understand why anyone cares how you want to push your baby out. Like it should be
it's easier for them to see and to navigate. I think that must be why.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why would they put you up there?
On my back,
you know,
right?
I tore so badly on my back. Do you remember, Sarah? I tore at the top.
Yes.
And like my body, where my baby puts pressure, is
at
like
the top.
At the top.
Yeah.
I tore right at the top.
I've never heard of that.
Right next to my urethra, and then of course, like every time I peed,
that probably was so painful. To
Oh my god, it was the worst. It was so bad.
Burning.
The burning.
I can feel it.
I would pee in a like warm bucket of water that my mum had in the bath, and I would just go and like pee, and my mum would empty this like water for me. It was so, but I was pushing on my back and it felt so weird. And since then, I remember I was actually sort of in this lying down position with my second baby and I could feel the pressure in the same spot. And I said to my midwife, I was like, oh my God, I can feel it. It's so tight up there. I need to move positions. And she was like, try hands and knees. And then for my body, like the hands and knees position is my like birth jet. That is where I push my babies out.
That was it.
And so then second, third, fourth baby, hands and knees, the pressure's off, never had a tear since, slowed it all down, breathed the baby out, didn't even have to do the big pushing. And like, I just wish with my first birth, when everyone was like, push, that I was like, hang on, no, I'm doing this myself. But I didn't.
But you have no idea what to expect that
first
time.
I was so vulnerable.
Oh, I know. That's the thing too. It's just like there's so many things. You're like nervous. You don't know what to expect. Everything is like a new sensation. You're like, is this right? I don't know. There's so many. I literally had, I think it was my mom holding one leg and it was like a scene out of a movie.
Yes. I
was like, is this happening? But I was on an epidural, so I didn't feel a thing. Had I not been, I couldn't imagine. You have no gravity in that position. You have no natural you know, way to feel like you're pushing the baby down. Like, yes, laying on your back, it just seems so, I don't know.
To switch gears for a second and ask you, from one blended family to another, how has that transition been? How's that flow for you guys, for your kids? Did it take you a while? Was it wobbly at first to find your dynamic between the two families? I'd love to hear you speak on that, because we don't often interview a lot of other blended families, and
sure,
we've had really great feedback every time we talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah, I get questions like that all the time, and I wish I had like a magic answer, but I know that my experience and my situation is just really lucky and unique and special, and I don't take it for granted. But listen, it wasn't perfect from the beginning. It was tough. You know, we split when my son was, he had just turned one.
Oh.
My daughter was four. So they were really little.
Yeah.
Which maybe made it easier in some ways and maybe not in others. But I think that when we decided, you know, we had separated for a few months and then we decided to get a divorce. And when we decided that together, we were like, look, like, we are going to be in each other's lives forever. As long as these kids are around and in our lives, like, we are partners. We are. And we want them to have a beautiful childhood, and we want them to still have us together. And if we can kind of like take our egos out of this and whatever pain we might feel when there's a new partner introduced, or if there's, you know, whatever it was that comes up that kind of creates these issues, we were going to like talk it through and not include them, not involve them. Like, so we made pacts about certain things and rules, and like, we stood by them and it worked. As far as dating went, as far as holidays, like, we never split on holidays ever.
Oh my goodness. Like,
oh wow.
My ex-husband still sleeps over on Christmas Eve. Like, we're terrible Jews. I still like, we have Christmas or whatever, but he sleeps over. And it's just like, the kids know, like, it's just what we do.
Aww.
Like, he's included in every birthday and every holiday. We want to be together. We want the kids to have everyone. It's super important to us.
How incredible.
And we get along great. We speak every day. We're good friends. We're, you know, happy to be happy for each other. And I think people are always like, I don't get it. Like, how do you guys do that? And it really is the hardest part, is to just let the ego go.
Yes.
And if you can put your kids first and their happiness and what you deem to be normal for them, and like what experience you want them to have, and they can have it. You're in control.
Wow.
That's really it at the end of the day.
What an amazing dynamic you found. It's like, what a beautiful flow.
And the baby, even the new baby, he loves the kid's dad.
Like,
they have like a cute relationship. We went skateboarding the other day and my ex was like playing with the baby on the skateboard, and he calls him, you know, he's Uncle Danny to him, and
we're
just a big family. Like, this is just it. We're a unit.
Wow.
And it's nice.
It's so nice to hear that, because my blended family is the same way. We all sleep at each other's house. Like, they often live with us. We often live with them. You know,
yeah.
We're all together. They're going to be having a baby.
It's so nice.
Nice. Yeah. And so and she was like, and you can just babysit and breastfeed if you need to breastfeed the baby when I'm out. And I was like, totally. it's the funniest.
You're like, the breastfeeding might be crossing
the
line.
No, I'm like, I will breastfeed that baby.
No, Teresa would breastfeed anyone's baby.
Anyone's baby.
I breastfed other babies before. I'm happy to do it.
I love it.
Me too.
But it's so, people say the same thing to us. They're like, what? How? I don't understand. And I was like,
yeah.
The love that my husband and Frankie had for each other like they came together to create this beautiful child. And that was I really truly believe that was the reason they came together, was so that Isaac had this portal to come through. And it's like, I can look at her and just love her for all the beautiful things that she's done for her son, who's our son, who we love. And it's just this, we're right. all just so happy for each other. And it, yeah. again, wasn't right. always like that, but we worked on it, and it was yeah. eradicating the ego in that instance. It was just letting it go and like,
yeah.
not asking for perfection.
Really what it is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And really strong communication.
Totally. And I think like having certain boundaries, like if there's certain things that don't feel good, you can voice that.
Yes.
And you can kind of have, not rules, but you can have, you know, you can ease into it. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be like a light switch. All of a sudden you just kind of jump into this new world. It's hard. It takes time. But if you, like you said, Aww. If you communicate and you're like, you know, that really just makes me feel kind of, it's too soon, or it's kind of, that kind of makes me feel like if you have that respect for each other,
yeah, yeah,
then, you know, you're treating that person like their family versus like, you know, I think that's what happens yeah. that a lot of times when people split, they feel like they're not supposed to share anymore in life, mm-hmm. you know? And when you have kids, it's so not the case. It's forever.
Yeah.
I mean, you're so lucky that you have a partner that is like on the same page as you with all of
totally.
That too, because, yeah. you know, or ex, however you want to say that, ex-partner, co-parent, because, you know, I've definitely, when you were telling that story about how you guys do it, it actually made me choke up and like get emotional mm. because I've seen so many friends go through it where yeah. they're not on the same page. And it's really hard because you do think like, it's for, you know, you keep saying like, but the kids, they need, you know, they need their mom, yeah. they need their dad, they need right. this like unit. And mm-hmm. it just like kills you when you see it coming from a place of like anger or frustration or mm-hmm. like spite or any of those things. And that's so hard and so complicated. Yeah. And it definitely has the biggest effect on the little ones
the
who
kids.
Like just, yeah, they just like can't. Yeah. Anyway, it's just like so beautiful yeah. that you said that. And I hope that if somebody is out there listening to that, that's going through it, like that can be something for them to think about.
At the end of the day, that's who is affected. And yeah. as hard as it is to kind of really give into that, once you do, you're like, it's really all that matters, you know?
Yeah.
They're so innocent and so helpful. Like it's, you know, it's a shame when you see these families like struggle like that and the kids suffer. So.
And you get to normalize it. And I think we know that the divorce rate is so high that, you know, half of these marriages are going to fall apart. And it's a horrible thing to think yeah. of, especially as, you know, you're falling in love, but actually you're setting your kids up to know that one day if they're in a partnership and the partnership ends, it doesn't have to be toxic. It can be totally right. normal. All families look different. And I yeah. just, I think it's just such a beautiful way forward. And I hope that more people lean into this idea that you just normalize like family breakdowns and then they yeah. reshape and they look a little bit different.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, and what's perfect anyways, it's like, you know, I yes. think it was so hard on myself. Like when I did split with their dad thinking, oh my gosh, this wasn't my plan. And what am I doing? My poor kids. And then I'm like, no, this is what's right. Like they deserve to have happy parents. And
yes.
that's all that matters. Like they feel that.
100%.
And it kind of goes back to like them experiencing birth. Like my parents were divorced, but they had a great relationship. So my experience with divorced parents was nothing bad. It was fine. It was great. My parents got along and we did things together. And you know, I got that experience firsthand and sort of that was like when I split with my ex, I was like, oh, it can be good. It will be good because yeah. I know that it can be good because I experienced that. So I wanted my kids to also share that. And the same with birth, you know,
like yes.
my daughter
yes.
now, she talks about having you know, baby someday. And it's like, that's how she's going to do it. She's already like decided in her head, not like she's, aww, you know, family planning at 10, but I mean, I know that she's like, you know, that's how I want to have a baby mom.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I'm going to do it. So it's like, we are, you know, what we teach our kids, and yes, it's kind of like the gift we give them, right?
It's so true. We were just interviewing Dr. Fabilia Affleck, and she was like, we are our kids' first teacher. Like that, right, that's the case. And I do really believe that when we can teach through just like behavior, our own behavior, and really think about, like, you know, as we're modeling these things for our kids, like, it can be, you're absolutely right, it can be such a beautiful thing. And so thank you for sharing that, because it really touched me just hearing that story and knowing like how the opposite side can be so hard. And it's hard, you know, I'm sure very hard as you're going through it, but it's so awesome that you guys found a way to do it and do it so well. So I just appreciate that you said that. Thank you so much for being here with us on the Mother Days.
It was so fun.
Yay!
I loved it. And it was my first podcast, by the way. This was it. I was a podcast virgin until today.
We feel so honored that you chose to be on the Mother Days. And I mean, I just remembered Ricky saying, like, Tori, you need to go and tell your stories. Like, and she's right. Like, you have such different birth experiences. The fact that you shared them with us is, it's amazing. And also just the way that you've decided to, like, you know, live and parent and do this whole, the whole parenting thing. So thank you so much. She's so right on.
Tori, this has been such an insightful, beautiful podcast episode with you. I loved everything that you shared, and I'm leaving feeling
thank you
so inspired. And could you tell everyone where they can find you to continue following your journey?
Well, I mean, I don't leave my house much.
Literally at Whole Foods.
Okay, your address is fine. Your address is fine. We'll all come over.
I mean, really, I'm so bad with social media these days. I've sort of just kind of went inward with this last baby.
Yes, makes sense.
And it's funny, having him, I think, made me realize how fast it goes by.
Yes.
And I really just wanted to, like, you know, take it all in. And I made a joke earlier about just being, you know, a stay-at-home mom. And it's funny. I'm like, for the first time in my life, I'm not working. I'm not doing anything creatively. And sure, there's days when I want to, you know, I'm going nuts and I'm like, God, I wish I had a project or something, but I'm really so content with just being a mom in this moment.
Yes.
And it's just a chapter in my life. Like, I'm happy right now. So I'm like sitting back and getting to spend all my time with them and not having to travel and get on a plane on a whim and go to a million meetings. And
that sounds
sort
nice.
Of just like, I don't know. It's a moment in time for me.
Oh my gosh.
Someday soon. I'll get back out there. I know. I'll get bored.
You can follow her like I do on Instagram at Tori Pramer.
Yes. You can follow me on Instagram. I'm not as active as I used to be, but yes,
okay.
I'm there.
We love it.
And and I love
you're
you guys.
Best.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoy
it.
We
love following you.
And thank you,
so
you for
much.
Speaking out on all of these topics. I think they're so important. And I think that we need to be having these conversations.
100%.
Yes.
It's agreed. Time to have them. And I really appreciate you guys for that.
We appreciate you. Thanks so much, Tori. So much. And daisies, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much. Bye.